an interesting discussion now on a story of an institution that has a long and important historical legacy here in the United States. And here's President Obama signing an executive order back in 2010 to increase federal funding to the nation's historically black colleges. Here's the president.
Like all colleges and universities, HBCUs face tough challenges today. Endowments and state budgets are shrinking. Too many facilities are deteriorating. Enrollment is falling, and the cost of education keeps going up. And these schools feel the pain more acutely. They do more with less, and they enroll higher proportions of low and middle-income students.
The president signing an order to increase federal funding to the nation's historically black colleges, the acronym there, HBCUs, facing tough challenges, and among the higher proportions of low and middle-income students are higher proportions of students who aren't African-Americans. Joining us now to talk about the mission of historically black colleges in these tough economic times is Johnny C. Taylor, Jr., CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, which partners with public historically black colleges to increase access, retention, and graduation rates. Johnny C. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, with the president's words in mind there, what are the particular challenges for public historically black colleges? Because they have an added issue. They're connected to the treasuries of states.
You nailed it. That's the challenge. And again, it's important to note that all colleges and universities are, you know, facing really tough times as private donors are in face of this economy giving a little less. And it's more challenging for parents who have to contribute to their children's education. So all of us have these challenges. But as it was pointed out by the president, our issues are exacerbated by the fact that our students are already coming from economically disadvantaged communities and neighborhoods. And so their parents can't make up the slack where the states fall short or where the federal government falls short. They oftentimes have no other choice but to fall out of the university, drop out, or our schools have to find a way to educate them for less.
So does that, all the conditions that you've described there, and we could talk sort of broadly of all the historically black colleges, does it change the mission? Do you have to pull away from being essentially an educational refuge for African Americans with the rates of African American matriculation of 98%, 99%, maybe dropping to the 70s?
That is not at all what's necessary. Frankly, it's important to point out that African-American or HBCU institutions have never been exclusively black institutions. We have always embraced students of all colors, nationalities, what have you. The difference now is that we have to market a little bit more aggressively to a wider population of people, including citizens outside of our non-United States citizens. So we have to, and many of our schools are doing that. We're traveling globally to recruit students to attend our campus. The benefit is that we'll have the benefit of more diversity on our campuses. But at the end of the day, we're chartered. Our mission is to educate African Americans, and we will hold true to that.
All right, Johnny C. Taylor, Jr. is CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Here in the studio with me is Dr. R. LaRue Lewis, who is an assistant professor of sociology and black studies at the City College of New York, author of the forthcoming book, Inequality in the Promised Land. LaRue, good morning.
Good morning.
Where did you go to college?
I went to college at Morehouse College, which is the only all-black, all-male, historically black college.
Now, if diversity is good for me, going to the University of Chicago as a white male in the 1970s, why is it perhaps not an asset in the same way for African Americans going to college when you did at Morehouse?
Well, I think we have to think about diversity as complex, particularly in schools like HBCUs, which have a mission of educating a black population, lifting as we climb. We want to make sure that these schools remain true to their mission and to their nuance and cultural context. If you assume that anyone goes to an HBCU and that your connection to the black community doesn't need to be strong, you miss out on some of the opportunities. HBCUs are incubators for the black community. They develop different models of leadership, different spaces for education, so you need to maintain a strong cultural cachet.
And do you hear Johnny C. Taylor changing that mission in some sense, maybe edging away from that mission, that incubator mission that you're talking about?
I think it's very easy for HBCUs, particularly state HBCUs, to move away from a model, not acknowledging the past and recognizing that historically black colleges were founded and created as alternatives to what were historically white colleges or predominantly white colleges. And now people are saying, well, it's fiscally responsible to admit as many people as possible. Well, it is fiscally responsible, but if we shift away from that mission, we'll be creating another generation of African Americans who are not as connected to their culture, as connected to the possibility of social change.
All right, that's Dr. R. LaRue Lewis, who's Assistant Professor of Sociology and Black Studies at City College of New York, graduate of Morehouse College. Johnny C. Taylor, I hear him saying gently that there may be some backsliding going on there at the Thurgood Marshall College Fund.
No, and in fact, I wanted to clarify, I never said we get away from our mission. Our mission never said exclusively educate African Americans. That was never in the mission. Our primary goal is to educate African Americans, but we have always opened that door to others. That is the point of it. And diversity is important for our students, especially in an environment where they ultimately will graduate and have to deal with people from different countries, with different races, colors, et cetera. So there's never a suggestion that we're going to get away from our mission. Adding some diversity to the mix does not make us any less HBCUs than we were. So in the case of an institution that was once 99% African-American, if it becomes 90%, and to be clear, we don't have any special goals in mind, it is about embracing a larger group of people who are interested in attending, and we think it adds to the curriculum, and it adds to the overall environment to have some diversity. But we are primarily and will always be dedicated to educating
America. Got it. Johnny C. Taylor, Jr., CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, which partners with historically black colleges to increase access, retention, and graduation rates. Final thought, Arlou?
I think that we must take diversity in context, and some diversity is a great thing. If we make diversity the end goal in making sure that HBCUs look like other schools, as in not composed predominantly of African Americans or with the target of educating and uplifting African Americans, we lose an important cultural institution within the higher education landscape.
Dr. R. LaRue Lewis, Assistant Professor of Sociology and Black Studies at City College of New York. Thanks so much. And we want to end this hour to say goodbye to a special member of our staff who's been here since the very first broadcast of our show. You hear her occasionally on our Monday Morning Agenda segment. That's managing producer and radio star Noelle King.
Good morning, folks. This is Noelle King.
Look, Southern Sudan is going to face tremendous challenges to begin with.
We saw the continued rise this year in American politics of the prominence and the importance of social networking.
You actually made it to the national spelling bee, but you messed up.
The word was impugn. It was the G. There hasn't been too much in the way of an indication that Gaddafi wants to settle or is willing to settle.
This week, Noelle, what do you think it's going to be all about?
My word of the week is road tripping.
It's quite literally the case. You're not going to be hearing Noelle's voice on that gorgeous studio microphone. She's going to be off in the Middle East, hopefully filing for us. Take care and good luck, Noelle. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is back on Monday. This is The Takeaway.